Hi everyone, and thank you again for listening. I got a good amount of feedback on last week's recording. For the most part, people were saying that it was a drop too short. So this week we're going to go for like a 40, 50, maybe an hour long recording, and I hope you enjoy it. No, I'm kidding. It's going to be a drop shorter than last week's, and I still hope that you enjoy it. So this week's parsha is Parshas Korach, where we have the great debate between Korach and Moshe. Korach gets up and tells Moshe in front of all the people, "What do we need you for? We don't need a king. We don't need a kohen gadol. Kol ha'ida kulam kedoshim. We all stood at Har Sinai. We're all holy. We can all have relationships with Hashem. Why do we need our kohen gadol?" At least this is on the surface what he tells Moshe, and we know that his ultimate downfall was the ground swallowing him up. Now, the word that the Torah uses to tell us about Korach being swallowed up is a very specific word. In general, it appears only a handful of times in Tanakh. And in specific, in regards to the ground opening up and swallowing somebody, it only appears twice. The word is patsasa es piha, that the ground was opened its mouth, but the word specifically is patsasa es piha, which appears only here when Korach gets swallowed up, and then one other time in the Torah. But before I get into exactly where that place is, I want to just discuss for 2 minutes what is so important and why I keep getting into these comparisons of stories that on the surface don't seem to have any connection. So I think that the Torah was written in an extremely compact way, but it's meant to give us an infinite amount of lessons. So to achieve that, what Hashem did was he overlays stories and compares them when you wouldn't have thought for them to be compared, and then that gives us a better sense of depth. To demonstrate this, just do this with me here for a minute, unless you're in public, then people will look at you very strange probably. Blink one of your eyes, then open it and quickly close the other. Now alternate between blinking your two eyes. You'll notice that you got slightly different pictures from each of your eyes, which because they're each coming from a different angle. And what your mind does with these two pictures is it overlays the pictures, it takes the slight differences, compares them, and that creates a greater sense of depth. And if you notice, when you look with one eye, you still see some sort of depth, but when you open two eyes, the world becomes much more 3D. Depth is much clearer. And I think that the same thing happens with these parshiyos in the Torah, that they're overlaid and the comparisons and contrasts between the two were meant to put them up against each other. And it gives us a greater sense of depth from each of the two. It's almost like you can't understand one without the other, right? You need the two of them to get this deeper sense of the message of the picture in the Torah that it's trying to tell us. So that's just in general. Now, specifically, we said that this word patsasa es piha with regard to the ground happens here by Korach. The only other place it happens is by Kayin. So Kayin kills Hevel, and the ground swallows up Hevel's blood, and Hashem tells Kayin, that you are cursed from the ground which opened up its mouth to take your brother's blood from your hands. So again, it's the word patsasa es piha, which in the entire Tanakh, these are the only two places where this word is used in regards to the ground opening up its mouth. What do these two stories have to do with each other? So I think that there is a great message and a much deeper sense of what we'll get out of these two stories when we overlay them one over the other. But we needed some more connection to really prove that there is something of substance here. And in fact, if you look through the stories, I found at least four other comparisons between the two stories. So the first one I would say is that both Moshe, who's facing off against Korach, and Kayin get angry in their stories. But they happen in reverse of each other. What happens by Kayin is he sees that Hashem turns to Hevel's karban and not to his, and he gets angry. Right? It says, Vel Kayin Vel Menchasei Leisha'a. Hashem turns to Hevel's karban, does not turn to Kayin's karban, meaning he doesn't accept it. And then it says, Vayichar L'Kayin Ma'id. Kayin gets very angry. What happens by Moshe is Korach is instigating the people up against him. And then it says, Vayichar L'Moshe Ma'id. Vayemer L'Hashem Al Tefen Al Menchasam. Right? Moshe gets angry for a legitimate reason. And then he tells Hashem, don't turn to their karban. So it's like, the exact opposite happens. By Kayin, he sees Hashem not taking his karban and he gets mad, which is not really a legitimate reason, which we'll explain in a minute. By Moshe, he has a legitimate reason to get mad, and then he tells Hashem, don't accept their karban. That's number one. Number two, both Kayin and Moshe fall on their faces. But again, they're the opposite of each other, because Moshe falls on his face when he's in despair. He doesn't really know what to do. But in both cases, he either the first time he defends the people verbally to Hashem, and the second time when he doesn't have a verbal defense, he immediately sends, he does an action to save the people. He sends Aaron out to stop the plague that had started affecting and started killing off people. So he falls on his face in despair, but in both cases he does something about it. Whereas Cain falls on his face. After Hashem gives him his punishment, he falls on his face and he tells Hashem, this sin is too great to bear. But he falls on his face for no reason, and that's what Hashem tells him. He says, Lama charalach, why are you angry? V'lama naflu al panachan, why have you fallen down? There's no legitimate reason for you to be upset right now, Cain. He says, famously, if you do tshuva, it'll be accepted and you'll be fine. And if not, then the Yetzer Hara will get you over and over again. But everything's in your hands. There's no reason for you to be to fall on your face and be in despair. So again, in both these cases, they're the opposite of each other. And then the next two are where by Kairach and by Cain, both we have the concept of voice. By Cain, we know Hashem tells him, the voice of Hevel's blood is calling out to me from the ground. Right, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin actually says that Rabba Bar Bar Chana walked by the place where Korach had been swallowed up, and he heard the voice of Korach coming out from the ground saying, Maisha Emes V'Seras Emes. So in both cases, the person that was swallowed is speaking up, speaking out of the ground. And the fourth and final one is that the Pasuk by Korach says, Vayevdu Mitecha Kahal, they were completely, you know, lost from the nation, and Hevel also was completely lost from humanity. There's zero reference to him after that. He's completely lost. So I think that there's enough parallels here to say the Torah wants us to make a comparison, but I think in specific, they're unique because they're inverses of each other, right? Moshe sort of did whatever Cain did, but he did it correctly. Whereas Cain had the ground inappropriately swallow blood after he murdered somebody, Moshe commanded the ground to swallow somebody, and he even used that as a proof that that Hashem sent him. And again, Moshe only gets upset when he has a reason to. He only falls on his face when he has a reason to, and then he still does something about it. So what is this connection here? So if you look at the story of Korach, I think the one major thing that he was doing was he was breaking down boundaries. He said, "Kol eidu kulam kadoshim," right? Everybody's holy. Everybody should be able to access Hashem. We all stood at Har Sinai. We don't need a Kohen Gadol. It was almost like his mission was the Mishkan. Everybody should come in. He didn't want to not serve Hashem. He wanted every single person to serve Hashem. And Moshe's taina back to him, Moshe's claim back to him was every single time the same thing. Hashem made boundaries in this world, and we need those boundaries to exist. But why? Why is it that we need boundaries? If you think about it, maybe it's nice. Could you imagine the inspiration you would get standing next to the Pareichas looking in or walking into the Kodesh Kodashim? Wouldn't that be that? It would be like absolutely amazing. Like it would be an amazingly inspirational and incredible world if we were able to just live in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash 24/7. Why is it that we need boundaries so strongly? So I think that if we look to the story of Cain, it'll help us understand why we need boundaries and what the purpose of them is. Because if you look at what was Cain's original mistake, yes, he killed his brother and that was horrible, but what was the real problem? What happened was they both bought karbanis, and then Hashem accepted Hevel's karban, and he did not accept Cain's karban. What that means is that the way Hashem wanted Hevel to serve him was to have his karban accepted. And the way he wanted Cain to serve him was to not have his karban accepted. Because all we can do in life is, we can do whatever we try to do, and Hashem chooses to accept that or not. We can daven and daven and daven, but there are some times when the way we're supposed to serve Hashem is not to have our tefillos answered, it's to daven and have our tefillos not answered. That's like an example of how nowadays we have a similar thing to what Cain had. But he didn't want to be his own person and realize that he has a different way of serving Hashem than his brother. He wanted to be just like his brother, and that's why he got jealous when Hashem took his Hevel's karban and not Cain's. Therefore, he got jealous and he kills him. It was the same concept of not understanding that two different people have a boundary. Each person has their own boundary, and each person is their own individual person. We each live with our own tafkid, and we each operate within our own boundaries. And what that means is that there are times when what works for one person doesn't work for another one. We each have separate nisyonos, separate challenges, separate successes, separate failures, completely separate lives and missions in life. And if, like Korach, what we try to do is say, everybody's the same. Let everybody just be exactly the same and serve Hashem the same way. We're all holy. We don't need leaders. We don't need separations. That is not the right way of living, because what ends up happening is it's impossible for each person to have their own sense of identity in that society. Imagine if you had 100 acres with 100 people living on it without anybody in a defined setting. Nobody can express themselves because everything belongs to everybody. What we're meant to live as is 100 acres, 100 people, each person has their own acre. I can make my acre the way I want mine to, you can do yours your way, and the other person can do his or hers their way. We're each meant to express ourselves fully within our boundaries. And I think that this is further proven, because if you look back before Kayin and Hevel, what Hashem had originally told Adam that his mission was in the world was La'avda u'lishamra. He put him in the world to serve and to guard the world. La'avod is to serve and lishmar is to guard. And if you look at what Kayin is described as an Oved Adama. He was working the ground. He didn't really have any sense of shmira in his life. And the Medrash actually says the reason why the ground swallowed up Hevel's blood was because he was an Oved Adama, the ground was like sticking up for him. But he didn't have a sense of shmira in the world. And what shmira is boundaries. Because, well, think of a shomer as a guard, somebody who guards a boundary. That's just in the simplest sense. But the only way you can guard something is if it's bordered in and it has its own place. For example, anybody's house. If you have a watchdog, he guards your boundaries. He guards your yard, and he knows that people that are not supposed to trespass, he stops them from trespassing. Every sense of guarding is meant to guard borders. Without borders, you can't have guards. And I think that our true purpose in this world is to both lavaid and lishmar. We're both meant to cultivate and to work on and to serve Hashem, but also to guard the relationship with Hashem. And without having boundaries and realizing that my mission is not your mission, which is not his mission, which is not her mission, without realizing that we each have our own mission, it's impossible for me to truly serve Hashem the way that I'm supposed to. And I think that's why the Torah compares these two stories, to tell us that Korach was trying to break down boundaries. And to really understand why breaking down boundaries is so bad, you have to look back to the first place that two brothers got into a fight over a lack of boundaries, because Kayin was not meant to have his carbon accepted. He was meant to serve Hashem without, maybe later, maybe the next day his carbon wouldn't have been accepted, and maybe not, who knows. But all we can do is we can bring our tefillos, we can bring our carbonos to Hashem, but ultimately in whatever situation we find ourselves, that is the situation that Hashem wants us to serve him from. And not to be like Korach, where everybody is just supposed to be leveled on the same playing field. There's no Kayin Gadol, there's no king. That's not the world we're supposed to live in. We are meant to realize that our relationship with Hashem has levels. There's a Kayin Gadol, and only he can go into certain parts of the Mishkan. And only Kehanim can go into other parts of the Mishkan. And my job is not a Kayin's job, and the Kayin Gadol's job is not a regular Kayin's job. And each person has his own place in society, and it's because of those boundaries that I am able to fulfill my tafkid and serve Hashem the way only I can and the way only I am supposed to. Just a quick mashal to end of really the definition between Ayved and Shomer. I heard a really beautiful mashal from Rav Reuven Leichter in Eretz Yisrael, and he says that he was explaining Yiras Shemayim. He was talking about something else. He said that Yiras Shemayim, most people translate it, it means fear of heaven, but fear is not meant in the sense that we typically understand. We're not meant to be afraid and terrified of Hashem. He explains the fear as the first time you hold a newborn baby. If it's the first time ever, this is even more true. You're terrified that you're going to damage or hurt or break. They're just the most fragile things. You're like terrified that you're going to break the baby. And that is like the yira that we're supposed to have in this world, is what he said. We're meant to handle the world with the fragility because it's so fragile that Hashem trusted us with it, but we're meant to be almost scared to break it. That's how he talks about Yiras Shemayim. But the same type of thing is true, because we're meant to guard a child because they're fragile. Right? A baby is fragile and we're meant to guard it. But at the same time, if somebody has a baby that's crying because it has a diaper or it's hungry, and you're too terrified and too scared and too much guarding to actually work with the child and do the things that you have to do with it, to change the diaper, to feed it, if you're too scared to do that, then obviously that's a terrible thing and the child's not going to make it. We're meant to both be oyved the child. We're meant to serve the child in the sense that we have to do things with the child, but at the same time we have to be scared of how fragile they are. And it's that sort of duality between oyved and shomer that we are meant to live within this world, and that's the only way that we can truly express ourselves, knowing that I exist only within my boundaries and I'm not meant to cross over those boundaries and be somebody else. And if you look at the end of the parsha, where it sort of reinforces what the purpose of Kehanim is, because that's the whole thing that Korach was challenging, if you look, the one word that keeps appearing over and over again is this word of Shmira. In fact, right after when the staff of Aaron turned into like a fruit tree, it budded, it says, Vayatze tzitz vayigmal shekedim, it budded flowers and fruits. It says that Moshe was supposed to take it, and he was supposed to put it out before the whole people, l'mishmeres l'ois l'vnei meri, that it should be a mishmeres, it should be something that the people should watch and guard. And the same thing over and over again by Kehanim. It says, v'shamru mishmartecho mishmeres kol ha'oil, v'shamru es mishmeres oil mayid, u'shmartem es mishmeres ha'kodesh v'es mishmeres ha'mizbeach. Pasuk after pasuk, we keep hearing how the Kehanim's job is to watch and to guard and to set boundaries. And in the Mishkan, we're supposed to have boundaries, and each in our own personal lives and our relationship with Hashem, we're meant to have boundaries and realize that we can fully express ourselves within those boundaries. And that's the only place we're supposed to express ourselves, and that each person has their own boundary and their own beautiful, specific, and individual way to serve Hashem. If you have any feedback, questions, comments, arguments, please let me know. I would love to hear them. Thank you, and have a great Shabbos.